Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2017. The topic is Q&A, and the title is, Does the Weight You Use Matter for Muscle Growth? One of my clients is a personal trainer. They are training for a men's physique competition. So it's kind of like bodybuilding, but little bit more of a scaled down type of look, and they haven't competed yet, but that's what we're training for. So we're learning nutrition along the way. They coach their clients for nutrition and training for various reasons, like various goals, like fat loss, muscle growth, strength. So along with me managing their programming, they're learning a lot along the way, which they then use to help their clients. So I love that. I love getting to work with personal trainers. Over half of my clients are personal trainers, which I really enjoy. One of his clients recently asked a very fun question. They were in the middle of one of their workouts, and their client asked them why the trainer, like meaning my client, why the trainer often tells them not to worry about the weight they use, but yet the trainer tracks the weight. So their client said, it's, you know, air quotes, like the trainer says, don't focus on max weight, focus on max quality. And then a few moments later, they write the weight that they use in their logbook and then praise the client for the weight that they were able to use. So they're like, what's up, man? You know, you tell me not to worry about the weight, but then when I use heavier weight, you congratulate me. But if I use too heavy of weight, it's like a bad thing. So what in the world's going on? You know, so I thought that was just fun. They told the story a lot better than I just did. So that was my bad. Sorry for that. But I can understand their client's perspective, is it seems like a contradiction. The trainer says, don't worry about the weight. But yet, whenever they increase weight, the trainer seems happy. And it's like, well, if that was the goal, I'll just use heavier weight in the first place. So if you're wanting to grow muscle, does the weight you use matter? The answer is abso-freaking-lutely. Absolutely it does. So, if you want to grow muscle, does the weight you use matter? Yes. There are two ways that muscles grow from training. Number one is shear force damage. And number two is referred to as metabolic damage. Shear force damage is the weight is so heavy that it actually causes tears and breaks within the structure of the muscle cells. Whenever we're placing it under a weight load, asking you to do contractions and extensions under that weight load, the weight is heavy enough, it actually breaks the muscle. It breaks structures within the muscle. The other one, metabolic damage, the other way of growing muscles, is the muscle is asked to perform contractions and extensions under weight load to an extent that surpasses the muscle's capacity to properly manage those contractions and extensions in regards to the metabolic demands of doing so. Meaning managing the, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, the neurological connection, the sodium, potassium, all the different things that are involved with the contraction of a muscle. There's a lot of processes that happen, and our muscle cells, the size of the cell is in relation to its ability to manage those contractions. So if we surpass that cell's capacity, the body's response in a certain condition, and I'll talk about that in a second, the body's response is to make the cell more robust, which would be to make it larger. So there is a condition in which we're trying to manipulate and take advantage of that if we cause repetition failure, contraction, extension, underweight load failure within a certain parameter, the body's response is to make the muscle cell more robust. So that's what we're looking for. When we're in training for muscle growth, we want metabolic damage and or shear force damage. The best would be to get a mixture of both. If you go shear force all the time, you're going to damage a lot of joints and kind of feel beat up, and it maximizes our recovery capacity a little sooner than what we want. It's not really optimal. If you go for metabolic damage all the time, you're missing out on some growth opportunities from the shear force damage. You're maybe having to work out even longer than your schedule allows. You have to do a lot of sets. So typically the best program is going to combine both of those is sheer force damage and metabolic damage. What's interesting is for metabolic damage, the time frame that the failure occurs absolutely matters. Typically, for metabolic damage, you don't have to worry about the low end of the time frame, meaning if the weight is too heavy to produce sufficient metabolic damage, then it's likely the right weight for shear force damage. So if you go too heavy for metabolic damage, no worries, you're exactly where you need to be for shear force damage. So the other end of the range is what we're looking at, is when is the weight too heavy for shear force damage? And then when is the weight too light for metabolic damage? So we know if you're the right heaviness, you're either going to cause shear force damage or metabolic damage. So when is it too heavy and when is it too light? If we look at the question of when is it too heavy, it really can't be. Even if you perform just a one rep max, you will accrue some shear force damage. The downside is it won't be much. There's just not enough damage created in one repetition to maximize our body's muscle growth potential, like the muscle growth response. So to produce enough damage that elicits the maximal muscle growth effect, you would have to do a lot of sets of one rep, possibly 20 sets of one, maybe more, maybe less, but it's gonna be often a lot more than what you would be able to do safely. Very soon, if you do a one rep max, one rep max, one rep max, one rep max, the weight has to start to come down quite a bit. You're gonna start to increase risk of injury because the technique isn't gonna be able to be as crisp. Then all of a sudden the weight load becomes almost so light that although it's a systemic one rep max, it's not actually a muscle tissue one rep max. So you're not getting shear force damage as much as now you're getting metabolic damage, but you're really annihilating the body through that process. So the idea of doing just maximal effort sets of one for muscle growth is a little insane, because you would have to do such an enormous number of sets that you run into a lot of issues, a lot of just practical application issues. So basically what happens is the more reps you perform, it's going to be a benefit of a balance in that you can still create shear force damage, but you don't need a total number of sets, like as many sets. So 20 sets of one is impractical. 10 sets of two, closer to being practical, but still a little insane. So now if you look at 5 sets of four, ooh. Okay, four is still heavy as hell, and it's still gonna cause shear force damage. Can I do 5 sets of four? Actually, yeah, we probably can. So that's the idea, is if you do more repetitions per set, you don't need as many total sets, and then that creates a better balance. So typically in muscle building programs, they often don't use rep ranges under, say, 5. When I write bodybuilding programs for my clients, very rarely, if somebody's goal is muscle growth, and that's actually their main goal, they don't really care to get stronger, very rarely do I program under 5 reps. If I do want them to get stronger because that's going to help increase our total volume for future training sessions, then yeah, I'm going to dip down under 5 reps from time to time. Not often, not all the time, but I will from time to time to push strength development along with muscle development. But most muscle building programs aren't going to program under 5 reps. Now I'll do that again, like I said, if I want to push strength increase for clients or for weaker clients, if I know that they're just currently not strong enough that a set of 10 is really going to create enough shear force damage. No, because they're not strong enough for it to be heavy enough. But a set of 10, also at the weight that they can use, might not be long enough time under tension to create metabolic damage. So you're in this weird spot where they're not strong enough for shear force damage under typical weight ranges for bodybuilding, say 10 reps, but they're also not strong enough for metabolic damage at that weight. So I will program them down to as low as five rep sets. And sometimes I'll even go down to 2 or 3 reps. in their program because that's the weight load that would be appropriate to create shear force damage even if the repetitions are abnormal. And again, because normal, quote unquote, might have an assumption of a certain strength level, if a client is coming in under that assumption, under that strength level, then we have to do some abnormal things to create the results that we want. So the lower end of the rep range commonly used in strength, in body muscle building growth programs, muscle growth programs, is typically 5. However, depending on the way, like the speed in which a person moves, I could easily see sets of 2 or 3 reps being included and being helpful. Not a lot, but they absolutely could be included within the scope of a very good muscle growth program. So the heaviest weight used for muscle growth would typically be around 5 rep max. Now, like again, you can go down as little as 2 or 3, assuming it's performed with good technique and it targets the muscles without momentum being involved, without non-intended muscles moving the weight. So let's say that the movement is super crisp, very clean, then sets of 2 or 3 I could see being implemented, but sets of 5 are more common. So that's the heaviest. Now, what about the lightest? Typically, for this question, for what like, what weight is too light, we're not going to look at repetitions. We're actually going to look at time under tension. The speed of repetitions can vary vastly from person to person, and especially under non-maximal weight load movements. So, for example, when performing hack squats, I like a controlled pace so I can feel my quads actually stretch on the way down. And then I want to kind of have a pause and a contraction and squeeze on the way up. So typically my per rep count is around 6 to 7 seconds. Yeah. So for me to do a set of 6 on hack squat takes roughly 40 seconds. So it's around 6 to 7 seconds per rep. Because I'll do like maybe a 4 count on the way down. So I'll start from the top, go 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'll be at the bottom. Then I'll contract up maybe by like a 2 or 3 count. So from the bottom to the top, maybe 1, 2. So 1 rep from the top down and back up is 4, 3, 2, 1. Pause. Up. 1, 2. So that is how slow my repetitions are. It's probably insane, but I like it. I like it because I can mentally connect with the muscle and I feel as though it gives me a very good response for quad development and quad growth in hack squats. But there are other movements I'll move much faster in. So I have my own difference in repetition speed depending on the exercise and the muscle that's being trained. And the same is true for everyone else, and everyone else's is different than everybody else's. So my reps in a hack squat might take 6 seconds per rep. I have a client who's doing it very well, doing it correct, but maybe theirs is 3 seconds per rep. But they're good, like it's under control, they're contracting the muscle, they feel everything working, so it's actually okay. Just because I do it 6 seconds doesn't mean they have to, and just because they do it 3 seconds sure as hell doesn't mean I have to. You find what pacing works best for you. So it's helpful to know, because the upper end of the time under tension range that's associated with a muscle growth response when it's taken to failure is around 60 seconds. Usually the sweet spot for muscle growth is between 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension, meaning you reach like physical failure, you can't perform any more reps properly within a 20 to 40 second window. But people within a proper program will have a mixture of time under tensions that will actually include a range from 10 to 60 seconds. The sets that are down by 10 seconds is great for progressing strength, great for shear force damage. The sets that are up around 60 seconds is great for metabolic damage, great for blood flow through joints. It's a way to add more volume but have it be less detrimental to connective tissues and joints. So depending on somebody's volume capacity, you might end up having a lot of work around 60 seconds because you're just trying to increase their ability to do more volume. So that way then you can weight load that volume in the future to create more damage. So there's ranges and weight reasons you would play within the time scope of 10 to 60 seconds. However, most of the work is going to come between 20 to 40 seconds. So anything so heavy that you fail under 10 seconds would typically require too many sets to create sufficient volume for muscle growth. So that's why we don't typically go under 10 seconds. Anything lighter to where you fail after 60 seconds isn't intense enough to create a metabolic damage response associated with the growth of the tissues. If you reach failure past 60 seconds, the body tends to respond by increasing oxygen utilization rather than responding by enlarging the tissue. So you get better aerobic endurance, like muscular endurance, not necessarily growth. So with this in mind, if we go back to the hack squat example, my upper rep range limit for effective muscle growth is probably around 10 reps based on the speed I move. But a client who moves at twice my speed can benefit from sets of 15 to 20 reps. So when I write all my clients' programming, everything's from scratch, for each individual client. I don't do any templates. I don't copy and paste. I don't have anything pre-written. I write it per client, per month, everything unique for them. So I know for some of my clients, sets of 15 to 20 reps are great. I know for other clients, sets of 15 to 20 reps would be a complete waste of their time. It's important to know that because I want them to get maximal results. They want maximal results, and that's why they're paying me for the help. So I'm absolutely going to give my best effort and make sure all this stuff is as personalized as it can possibly be. There's no way in hell I'm templating it out if they're paying me for a one-on-one service, because they could be in the gym busting their ass, but if they're doing 15 to 20 rep sets, it's worthless. I am not going to let somebody waste their life doing that because I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me. So for me, a set of 20 reps would actually be too light to create a muscle growth response. But for the client who maybe moves at twice my speed, that might actually be great for them as a contrast to really heavy squats. So maybe we did a quad-based squat, but we did sets of 3 to 5 reps. Really heavy shear force damage, but it's not enough volume. So now we come back to hack squats and we do sets of 15 to 20 reps. It's still a time under tension range that's correct enough to get a muscle growth response, but it's on the upper range, therefore they're not going to get as much connective tissue stress, but we're still going to get the volume we needed that we missed from the heavy squats. So it's very helpful to know this stuff, extremely helpful. So the lower end of heavy enough but not too heavy is around 10 seconds of time under tension. The higher end of heavy enough but not too light is around 60 seconds of time under tension. So the full range is around 10 to 60 seconds of time under tension. But a good program should have kind of a bell curve. There's gonna be a few sets down at the end of 10, a few sets up by 60, but the bulk of the work is gonna be in the middle around that 20 to 40 second kind of sweet spot. So back to the original question, does the weight you use matter for muscle growth? Yes. It can be too heavy that you cannot create enough volume to maximize the muscle building response the body is capable of. But it can also be too light that you don't create sufficient stress within the intensity that produces a muscle growth response, not the oxygen utilization response. With this in mind, why do we then track our weights? Because within that range of not too heavy and not too light, we want to continue to progress the stress load on the muscles so that we can coax the muscles to continue to grow. As the muscles grow, they become more resilient to damage. Therefore, we need to increase the stress that we place on the muscles in order to increase the growth response. As we train, a weight that may have been perfect for 30 seconds of time under tension failure, we get a little bit bigger muscle. We get a little more in tune with the movement. Our technique improves a little bit. All of a sudden, we get an extra rep. We get an extra rep. We get an extra rep. And instead of 30 seconds, it's now taking 45, 50 seconds for us to reach failure. As that time increases, the quality of the response for muscle growth reduces. It becomes something that we do less often. Like we talked about those end ranges, 10 seconds and 60 seconds we don't do very often. Well, if something that was previously 30 is now 50, it should be something we don't do as often. So in order to keep it at a stimulus that is the one we do most often, between 20 to 40 seconds, we have to move heavier up in weight. We have to move up in weight. Because that brings it back down to that 30 seconds of time retention failure. So the idea of tracking our weight is to ensure we're seeing an increase in our abilities, which indicates that we're growing. And so we can make adjustments to ensure the weights we're using are always within that sweet spot of being sufficient enough stress to elicit new growth. So working sets should be between 10 to 60 seconds, with the bulk of the work between 20 to 40 seconds. You want to track your weights so the weight you're using is always best for that desired time range. Over time, we want to be using heavier weights because that's an indication that we are growing and it's a necessity for us to be able to continue to grow. A caveat to this concept is something I want to bring up in the next podcast, the next maybe like Q&A podcast or a training podcast. I'll bring it up here in a couple podcasts from now. Is there are more ways to increase stress than just increasing weight. I want to state that because if you think if you're not moving up in weight, then you're not making progress. To some degree, that's true, but to some degree, it isn't. There might be other techniques at play. And these are things I use for my clients where I will change the position of an exercise within a workout. So dumbbell lateral raises are something that's very hard to increase weight load on forever. You know, you're not going to add 5 pounds every month. It eventually caps out. How do we then push the shoulders for more growth if we can't increase the weight load on a movement? And that's what I want to bring up in a future podcast is you can change exercise placement within a workout. You can change the total volume of isolation versus compound movements. There's a lot you can play with in order to create increased stress to make sure that you ensure increased growth, even if you can't increase weight load. Awesome. So hopefully that was helpful. I really like these kind of conversations I get into with my trainers because it's fun just to kind of think through this stuff. And then I know it's always awesome is anytime I'm able to re-solidify and kind of relearn what I know helps me. Anytime I can teach it to a trainer, I know they're going to then teach it to their clients. So that helps even more people. So I really enjoy that. Awesome. If you have any questions, if you need anything, you can reach out on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. If you're interested in personalized programming, so that way you actually know the repetitions you're performing are actually effective, you can check out our one-on-one services. We do have a service where I will write your training and nutrition for you. We also have the live monthly programming service, which is where I have a program per goal, such as powerlifting or bodybuilding, and then you can sign up to receive that program per month, and there's a group document for one-on-one education. So you get brand new programming every month, and you get a Q&A education with me every single week. That's a little bit of a cheaper service because we just use one program for everybody achieving that goal. I wanted to give that as an option because some people can't afford the one-on-one services, but they still want good quality programming. So that would be the answer to that. So look at the one-on-one service. If you can't afford those things, but you still want good programming, check out the live monthly program. Okay, great. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people that know about the podcast, the more people the podcast can help. And then if you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. There are yearly hosting costs and all the time spent. So I appreciate those who donate to help cover some of that cost. Thank you very, very much. And then if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you do find us on Instagram, please actually like follow the page. If you find us on YouTube, please be a subscriber. The more followers, the more subscribers those channels have, the more just social proof that the content is high quality, that others will see, and then hopefully they'll start to check out the content as well. So I do appreciate if anybody shares the podcast. I appreciate if you follow us on Instagram, if you subscribe on YouTube, anything you can do to help increase the social proof that the content is valuable is an amazing thing, and I greatly appreciate, and I hope that then it coaxes new people into checking out the information, and then they're going to greatly appreciate it because hopefully all this information is pretty helpful. Awesome. Well, as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.